This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66, WFAN and WFAN-FM, New York.
Well, good morning and welcome to Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on this Sunday morning, May 4th. How are we doing this morning? Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers Championship. See the PGA Tour's biggest names June 18th through the 22nd at TPC River Highlands. Visit TravelersChampionship.com for information. And speaking of the Travelers Championship, they had their media tournament this past week. I unfortunately could not play in it this year. I was in Florida attending Gary Player's 90th birthday charity bash. More on that in a bit, but I got the lowdown on Team WFAN in the Travelers Championship Media Tournament. Galby played, Brian Rascona played, Moose played, Chris Mercadante played, one of the sales guys here at FAN. Ed, who do you think is the best player in that foursome?
Oof. I'm going to go with Chris.
You know, I don't know Chris's handicap, but Brian, he's a 9.
Ooh.
He's a 9 handicapper. And apparently, Brian drained a 70-footer for birdie on the 8th hole. Now, that did not win it this year. I think they won a couple years ago, but I'm sure they had a great time. And the Travelers Championship, truly one of the best-run PGA Tour stops on the schedule. I mean, the players just rave about it. And we'll visit with Nathan Grube, the tournament director of the Travelers Championship, after the 7:40 break. But tickets are on sale now. We'll find out what players have already committed. Defending champion Scottie Scheffler, he called in during media day. You know, it's one of the 8 signature events on tour, which means all the top players would be there. Increased prize money, $20 million. FedEx Cup points, 700 points to the winner. It's a big deal. Well, last Sunday evening and Monday, I was honored to be included in the great Gary Player's 90th birthday charity celebration. You've heard Gary on the show many times. He was on right after Rory won the Masters. But this celebration was at Floridia National Golf Club in Palm City, Florida. His actual birthday, he turns 90 on November 1st. But this was a charity gala, a golf event to benefit the Gary and Vivian Player Foundation. They support underprivileged children. And, you know, Gary and Vivian were married for 64 years before Vivian passed away in August of 2021 from cancer. They had 6 children. Amanda Player Hall, one of the 6, she organized this gala. And, man, she just did an incredible event. Gary and his friend Susan boated into the marina at the Floridian. They danced their way up to the outdoor veranda of the club, where all of us were waiting for them. And, you know, it was quite the entrance. Jack Nicklaus was there, Barbara Nicklaus. It was a very touching moment, Jack embracing Gary, calling Gary his best friend. Brett Baer from Fox News emceed. Even President Trump phoned in to congratulate Gary. They've played golf a lot together. Tico Torres was there, the drummer for Bon Jovi. Dr. Nicholas Perricone, author of The Beauty Molecule. I mean, it was just an incredible event. Everything from the flowers to the dinner. And then the next day, Gary Player hosted a charity golf event. Ernie Els showed up. Instructor Karen Palacios Jansen. She was recently named the 2025 Nancy Lopez Golf Achievement Award recipient. She was there. Jim Thorpe, who played on the PGA Tour back in the 80s and then on the Champions Tour. Jim Thorpe was there. Kevin Sorbo. You remember Kevin Sorbo. Hercules. He was there. In fact, I played with Kevin's son, Shane. We had a great time. And, you know, the golf course, I was telling Ed, was originally designed by Gary Player. Wayne Huizinga. You remember the billionaire who founded Blockbuster? He was the original owner. And James Crane, the owner of the Houston Astros, bought it back in 2010. And it's just in spectacular shape. So a lot of fun at Gary Player's 90th birthday charity bash. And I love playing different courses all over the place. It's one of my favorite things to do, to, you know, to explore and play a course I've never played before. Learn about the course's history, you know, experience the just the scenic beauty of the layout. And I just love the adventure of playing a course for the first time. And I'm also interested in lists that rate the top courses in the world. And this morning, we're going to hear all about the Link Magazine Top 100 list. It's a ranking of the world's top 100 golf courses, voted on by golf architects, specifically members of the American Society of Golf Course Architects, the European Institute of Golf Course Architects, and the Society of Australian Golf Course Architects. So we're going to hear all about it from George Pepper, longtime golf editor, writer, historian. He's the editor of Links Magazine, and he's going to join us right after the 720 update. The PGA Tour, they're in Texas for the CJ Cup Byron Nelson, and I don't think anybody's going to catch Scottie Scheffler. He's been playing like the Scotty of old. I mean, he shot a 61 in the first round, 8 birdies and an eagle. He had a 2-shot lead after the first round. He followed that up with a 63 on Friday in round 2. 8 straight pars, eagle the 9th hole, which was the 18th. Then play was suspended. Literally had a 6-hour rain delay. And he came back, made 6 birdies, closed out that second round with an 8-under-63. That got him to 18-under-124, his best 36-hole total on tour. And he led by 6 going into the third round yesterday. And now today, in the final round later this afternoon, he will have an 8-shot lead. Unbelievable. At 23-under, that is the largest lead on the PGA Tour since Rory McIlroy had an 8-shot lead and won the 2011 U.S. Open. So Scotty going for his 14th PGA Tour win. His last win was actually the 2024 Tour Championship. And 8 shots back is Erik van Rooyen of South Africa. So I don't think anybody's going to catch Scottie Scheffler. LIV Golf, they were in South Korea this weekend. Bryson DeChambeau at 19-under. He was able to hold on to his lead this time to beat Charles Howell III by 2 shots. On Friday, Bryson shot a 6-under-66. He had a 4-shot lead back then over Richard Bland. He also had the 36-hole lead. But, you know, he's had the 36-hole lead 4 times this season previously, but was not able to capitalize until today. And, you know, they only play 3 rounds. So he closed it out. And his team won as well, the Crushers. Bryson, Charles Howell III, Paul Casey, Lahiri. They won over the smash team of Brooks Koepka, Taylor Gooch, Jason Kotrak, and Graham McDowell. So there you have it. The LPGA Tour is in Utah. At the Black Desert Championship, gorgeous, gorgeous course. Heron Rue holds a 54-hole lead. She carded rounds of 9-under-63 on Thursday, 5-under-67 on Friday. Yesterday, she shot a 4-under-68. She has a 2-shot lead over Ruin Yin and 3-shot lead over Esther Henselt. And Rue was a co-leader. Remember last week at the Chevron Championship after 54 holes? But then she struggled last Sunday in the final round. She shot a 4-over-76. So she ended up missing that 5-person playoff by 2 shots. And Mayo Sago won the first major of the year. Now, coming up this week is the at Liberty National in Jersey City, New Jersey, is the Mizuho Americas Open. You're going to have 120 LPGA players competing alongside 24 top-ranked junior girls on the American Junior Golf Association Tour. They play together, which is great for the juniors. Michelle Wee West is the host of the tournament. And Rose Zhang, you remember, she won her very first LPGA Tour event there a couple years ago. Defending champion Nelly Korda. And Mizuho Americas just announced that they renewed for 5 more years with the LPGA Tour. They're going to be the title sponsor of the tournament, continue to be. And they're raising the purse from $3 million this year to $3.25 million next year. So they really step it up for the women. And after 3 years at Liberty National, the tournament's going to be hosted by Mountain Ridge Country Club in West Caldwell, New Jersey, next year and in 2027, and then return to Liberty National through 2030. The PGA Championship is coming up. Man, it's just right around the corner. May 15th through the 18th, it's going to be at Quail Hollow, as you know, in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I love how they have 20 PGA professionals qualifying to play in the PGA Championship. They call it the Corebridge Financial Team of PGA Professionals. And 2 guys from the Metropolitan Golf Association, the Met Section, qualified. So congratulations to Dylan Newman out of Meadowbrook Club in Westbury, New York, and Andre Chi from Deepdale in Manhasset, and both clubs on Long Island. So hopefully they'll play really well in the PGA Championship coming up in 2 weeks. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll check in with George Pepper, editor of Lynx Magazine. We'll hear who made their top 100 list, some top courses in the world as voted on by architects, and I think you'll be surprised by some of the results. But first, let me tell you that at the Travelers Championship, you don't just see the action, you feel it. All the excitement, all the players, all 4 days. With returning champions Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, and other PGA Tour greats at nearby TPC River Highlands, it's the Northeast's only PGA Tour signature event this June 18th through the 22nd. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. We'll be right back.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
It is my pleasure to say hello to George Pepper, editor of Lynx Magazine. George, so great to catch up with you. I've been, friendly with you for years, have followed your career in the golf business for decades, and you're still going strong. So it's great to connect.
Well, you too, Ann, as I say, back at you.
Back at you for sure. And I know this Lynx 100 is very exciting. This list is a new ranking of the top 100 golf courses in the world voted on by golf course architects, which is interesting.
Yeah, well, you know, Lynx has been around for over 25 years now, and who better to do these such a ranking than Lynx Magazine, whose bailiwick is golf courses and golf course architecture and travel. And yet we'd never done it because the three other magazines now, originally Golf Magazine, Golf Digest, now Golf Week the last few years, all have their own very good lists. So the question is, you can't just be a me too. You need something to distinguish your list. And finally, after about a decade of thinking about it, we came up with what we think is a good alternative, namely, as you say, using the golf architects, because who knows more about golf courses than the people who design them for a living. So we think we have something that's distinctive and arguably more definitive than the others.
Well, let's go right to the top.
I will waste no time. Drum roll, please. And Cypress Point, the Alistair McKenzie gym, beats out Pine Valley for number one spot, Cypress Point.
Yeah, well, it's not like it won by 10 strokes or something. It was a nose. And it, you know, either one of them could arguably be the best in the world. I guess the difference is Pine Valley, there's probably no golf course in the world with a greater collection of 18 holes than Pine Valley. But for a singular experience in the game, for you know, just a great walk in nature, an exhilarating 18 holes, beautiful place to play. I don't think you can beat Cypress Point. I've always said there's no better place in the world to play badly than Cypress Point.
Just incredible views, incredible experience, if you can get on either of them, Cypress Point or Pine Valley. But what did the folks at Pine Valley think about coming in second to Cypress Point?
Well, you know, it's funny. I go back with Pine Valley because when I was at Golf Magazine, we started the ranking in 1979. And up to that point, Golf Digest had been ranking courses, but they had put them into groups of 10. So the first 10 golf courses tied for first place or 10th place, however you want to look at it. We were the first to actually rank courses numerically. And Pine Valley came out number one. And I remember very distinctly getting some negative reaction because everybody in the world then wanted to play the number one course in the world. So maybe they're a little relieved now that at least one magazine rates them number two.
Yeah, I'm looking at the scores, and you are correct. Very, very close. Cypress Point in this Lynx 100 list scored 48 points. And Pine Valley, who came in second, scored 47.58. So very, very close margin for sure.
Yep.
Can you talk about how they were judged by these architects? What was the criteria mostly?
Yeah, I mean, that begs the question, how do you get these numbers? Well, first of all, the grading system was on a 5-point scale, with 5 being the best. But we allowed the architects to give half points, in other words, 3.5, 4.5. We gave a bonus for courses they visited in the previous 5 years. And again, sort of going back to the Golf Magazine theory of doing this versus Golf Digest, Golf Digest has always had a very strict list of criteria. I think it's almost 10 different categories. And they ask each of their panelists, I believe, at least is the way they always did do it, to rank each of those 10 categories for a course. Whether it's beauty or resistance to scoring or shot values, all these things. And we felt that that was a bit, you know, we have a bunch of busy people here, these architects. We're not going to ask them to do 10 votes for each golf course. And number two, if you have people as discerning as golf course architects, I don't think you need to tell them what makes a good golf course. And so what we've basically done is trust their own judgment. We did give them 6 guidelines, which I'll just run through you quickly.
Sure.
Number one, how well the course tests the full range of skills. 2, the design rhythm, the flow and balance of a course. 3, variety, both of the terrain and the individual holes. 4, the skill of the routing and the navigability of the golf course. 5, the beauty, setting, and course conditionings. And lastly, imaginative or admirably restrained use of the given land. Now, yeah, those were just guidelines, though. And the bottom line is we trusted each of them to come up with his or her own definition of what's best. So basically, what we have is an objective average of a couple hundred very subjective opinions.
Sure. And if you look at the routing of Cypress Point, the natural beauty, the meandering amongst the Pacific Ocean, you know, it's hard to compete with that for sure, whether you're Pine Valley or not. Number 3 on the list, George Pepper, we go to Northern Ireland, Royal County Down. And I love Royal County Down. Just was able to play it for the 4th time this past summer. And oh, it's just better than ever. I was really happy to see a Northern Irish course number 3. Your thoughts on Royal County Down?
Yeah, I mean that's another one. There's it's almost a combination of the great routing and individual holes of Pine Valley and the exhilaration seaside character of Cypress Point rolled into one. And then of course you have the international feel of Ireland. There's I think people who go up to that part of the world are kind of divided between those who love Countdown and those who love Portrush. And Royal Portrush came in number nine, so. That ain't bad either. I think one of the things that struck me about the list and is that it mirrors sort of the domination of the world of three different elements. If you look at the 19th century, that was the British Empire, right? So we have, I don't know, it's like 20 some courses that appeared or were first designed in the 1880s, 1890s. And of those, I think 15 are GB&I courses. Now, if you go to the 20th century, which is the preponderance of the, it's like 63 or 4 members of this list, most of those, probably close to 40 of them, are US. I mean, the 20th century belonged to the United States. Now, here we are in the first quarter of the 21st century. Who knows, 75 years from now, what nation, if any, can be looked back upon as the dominant nation. What it is right now, it's the rest of the world is the dominant force, and certainly in golf. So there are about, I think there's 17 golf courses who appeared since 2000, and of those, I think 12 are outside the U.S. Most of them in the Far East, whether it's Australia, New Zealand, China, Vietnam, there's one for Vietnam. So I think the next few years, this list is going to change as golf courses are built more actively around the world. The fastest growing golf country in the world, I think right now is Vietnam.
Wow. Yeah, I noticed that. I noticed a lot of courses on this Links 100 are from Australia. We can talk about that in a second. But getting back to Royal Countdown, St. Andrews, when you're talking about courses, across the pond outside of the United States, St. Andrews is always at the top of that list. And I see Royal Countdown is number three, Northern Ireland, and St. Andrews, Scotland is number five. That was interesting.
Yeah, and that of course offends me greatly because that's my favorite course in the world, and I
And you're a member of the
actually
RNA for sure.
yeah, for a long time. So I'm willing to look the other way on that one. But it is my favorite golf course, bar none. But I also understand the opinion of a lot of people who come to the old course at St. Andrews and play it the first time, and say, well, "What's the big deal here?" When Sam Snead came into St. Andrews in 1948 for the Open on a train, he looked out the window. He said, "Look, an old abandoned golf course." I said, "No, pal, that's where you're going to be playing the Open Championship next week." So it's not a visually impressive course, and I think in that regard, if you were to take the top 10 courses in Ireland and compare them to the top 10 in Scotland, I think Ireland wins. They're much more, again, exhilarating. They're sited much more closely to the sea, some of them on cliffs above the sea. But where Scotland wins, in my view, is in bench strength. You can play 50 courses in Scotland and never play a bad one. And I don't think you can do that in Ireland.
Well, yeah, I mean, Ireland, I think every time you play this incredible golf course, you just drive 20 minutes down the road and you see another course and you can play that's just as spectacular. It's just, but maybe it's because Ireland, up until maybe 25 years ago, wasn't really a well-known golf destination. People, Americans would go to Scotland knowing that St. Andrews was the birthplace of golf. But it's really in the last, say, 25 years that American golfers have been educated about the incredible links courses and parkland courses in Ireland and Northern Ireland. I feel, I know I do a lot of coverage of golf in Ireland. So I feel like, I played a lot of them in Northern Ireland and the Republic of Ireland. And it's interesting to see Royal Countdown as number three above number nine, Royal Portrush, which is hosting the Open Championship again, 6 years after they did it. So, yeah, I mean, great that Ireland's on this list a few times and that people are recognizing Royal Countdown and Royal Portrush.
Yeah, well, I think the reason for the Irish ascendance is, and Scotland would, I think, be the first to admit this, the Irish tourist board has done a much better job over the last 20 or 30 years than the Scottish tourist board has. They have really marketed themselves. They go to the PGA show. And, you know, yes, the old course in Scotland has attracted a lot of people for the last 50 years. But then, you know, those people go to Scotland a couple of times and they say, well, let's take a look at Ireland. And they aren't disappointed.
That's right. And then you have LaHinge at number 23. Yeah, I think Ireland will be happy with this Lynx 100 list for sure. Let's move to the east end of Long Island, because as you know, that's, you know, my hometown. And National Golf Links of America, the CB McDonald, just incredible course, built back in, what, 1889, is number four, beating Shinnecock Hills just by two. Shinnecock number six. That's interesting, George.
Yeah, well, again, if you look at the scores there, National 46.3 and Shinnecock 45.3, they're not too far apart. I think one of the reasons for that, remember, these are architects, and National has a very famous architect in C.B. McDonald.
Sure.
Shinnecock's architecture is often debated, and it's not, you know, there's a bunch of guys who are involved with that. It's not quite the same, and I think there may be an inordinate reverence for McDonald and Rayner. If you ask me, no, because I love them, those guys. But that might be the reason, because it's not, National isn't the test of golf. You know, you couldn't hold a U.S. Open there.
Right.
At least not without a pretty low score. But it sure is a charmer, and it has some really interesting holes.
And they've held Walker Cups there. But yeah, I mean, obviously it borders Shinnecock, and people will say they just love National because it's playable.
Well, yeah,
that's not going to kill you.
I had been fortunate to play those courses, not a lot, maybe a half dozen times each over 50 years. And I, you know, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I loved Shinnecock because I was, you know, young and I was fit and that I could play reasonably well. When I was in my 40s and 50s, I liked Maidstone because I was kind of a family man then. And this appealed to me. What a beautiful, I think it's the only club in the Met area whose beach is the Atlantic Ocean. All right. So now I'm in my 60s and 70s. I kind of like bumping it around National.
It's just, both are extraordinary. And the fact that the East End of Long Island has so many courses we can talk about here. So National Golf Links came in number four, Shinnecock number six. Then you have Fisher's Island, a Seth Rayner gem, 32, and Friars had 35. So the East End of Long Island, well represented on this Links 100 list.
Remember, though, Fisher's Island is in New York State. That's my favorite course within 3,000 miles of here.
Is that right? Talk about Fisher's Island. Why do you love it so?
I'm very lucky to be doing their centennial history as we speak. We hang up today, I'll go back to work on that. And it's just, well, again, it's Seth Rayner, and he had maybe his, probably without question, his best piece of land. I don't know what exactly the number of shots you can see salt water from, but it's something like, if there are 36 shots tee to green, it's something over 30. And it's just a great collection of his template holes and again, a great walk.
Isn't it great to be in this business? And how many decades now have you been doing this, George? Traveling the world, playing these golf courses,
I'm on
editing,
my 50th
writing
year.
About this great sport. It's a blessed life, right?
Yeah, this is just 50 years for me. I think this year, maybe 51. So, yeah, we remember Herb Graffis. He said, welcome to the toy department. That's when I got hired by Golf Magazine. Welcome to the toy department. And it's just... Yeah, we're. I think it was Jimmy Cannon, the sports writer, the New York sports writer, said golf writers in particular, are underpaid and overprivileged.
We'll leave it at that. How true, how true. George Pepper, always a pleasure. Lynx Magazine editor, really fun to look at this Lynx 100 list. Continued success.
Thanks, Ann. See you out there.
All right, George Pepper, Lynx Magazine. Boy, he's been in the business for a long, long time.
All right, in the next segment, we are going to turn our attention to the Travelers Championship. And Nathan Grube, the tournament director of the Travelers Championship, he's going to join us. We'll find out how their media day went, what defending champion Scotty Scheffler had to say. And at the Travelers Championship, you don't just see the action, you feel it. All the excitement, all the players, all 4 days. With returning champions Scotty Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, Xander Schauffele, and other PGA Tour greats at nearby TPC River Highlands, it is the Northeast's only PGA Tour signature event this June 18th through the 22nd. For tickets and information, visit TravelersChampionship.com. We'll be right back with Nathan Grube.
It's Talkin' Golf with Ann Liguori on The Fan.
Hey, and welcome back to Talkin' Golf. How are we doing this Sunday morning? Hope your plans today include playing some golf if the weather holds out here. Well, joining us now is Nathan Grube, the tournament director of the Travelers Championship, coming up June 18th to 22nd. It's going to be here very soon, Nathan Grube. Welcome back to Talkin' Golf. How are you?
I am well, Ann. Always love coming on. Thanks for the opportunity.
Our annual on-air chat. It's so much fun always to catch up with you.
It is. That means the tournament's right around the corner. I know I see a couple times a year at Augusta and other places, but whenever we do this interview, I'm like, oh, man, we're 42 days out. It is right around the corner.
So how did media day go? I'm so sorry I could not make it this year, but I hope the WFAN team did okay.
I don't know what the where they placed in the competition. We'll leave that for another discussion. But it was great to see them. And media day is always fun. I mean, especially up here in New England, it's like you know when media day is happening. You know the tournament's right around the corner. And Scotty was great. Obviously, you know he won our tournament last year in the playoff against Tom Kim, and to have him, you know, talk about how excited he is to come back, and you know, have him the number one ranked player in the world, and you know, coming back. And then actually we just announced we have actually 10 of the top 10 in the world golf ranking coming back now that they've all committed. So it's going to be awesome. Media day was a blast. The weather was perfect. We gave Scotty, as typically, you know, Andy Bissett from Travelers, he always likes to do something very personal for the guys. So we gave him his very fun defending champion gift, which was pretty cool. And he loved it. And then, you know, he's obviously taken the momentum from media day into this weekend. You know, I mean, let that be a lesson to all players, you know, have media day at Travelers, and then you're going to break a scoring record at the next tournament. So
I know I was reading the transcripts from media day of Scotty Scheffler, and he said he didn't think his ball striking has, you know, been as sharp as it was last year and the year before. But my goodness, whatever he did at during that interview certainly propelled him. He leads by, what, 8 shots at the Byron Nelson?
Yeah, and between you and I would love to have my ball striking not be in a good place and shoot 61. So, yeah, that's definitely my goal.
And so tell us about the gift that Travelers gave Scotty Scheffler.
So you know this about kind of the personality of our title sponsor, Travelers, that everything's personal to them, right? Like when we invite the players, the media, the caddies, like everything is personal. This is an event that we feel like, you know, we want it to feel like a home game for everybody who comes here. So with our defending champion, we always try to make it a very, very personal gift. You know, I'm like Keegan Bradley, we got him a seat from Fenway, you know, during one of the renovations that he, you know, he's a Red Sox fan. And Xander, you know, he's a huge, you know, cigar, like we got him a cigar and a humidor. And so anyway, but Scotty is getting really into coffee. And so I actually, Andy said, I talked about this, and I share this addiction with Scotty when it comes to coffee. But so we ended up getting him a roaster to where he could roast his own beans at the house, and he opened it up, and just the look on his face is pretty cool. And what I wanted to do is to warn him, because once you go down this rabbit hole of roasting your own coffee beans, it's a very it's a place where you just it's amazing. I mean, to roast your own beans from the green and, you know, things like that. But Scotty's a huge coffee fan, so I think he appreciated the fact that we you know, gave him a personal gift, and he was really excited about it. And when he opened it up, so it was fun to see.
Well, I share that passion, but I tell you what, if I have more than one cup, it definitely affects my putting. So he obviously can handle drinking that caffeine and you know, and playing golf. I mean, you gotta, I don't know about you, but I can't have coffee after like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
I was going to say, I know where my limit is. I start to feel it, but it's there somewhere. But I feel like that threshold gets pushed further and further. But, yeah, I can't. If Scotty, you know, somehow holds on to his 8-shot lead today, I say that with a joke, you know, that I'm sure he's going to attribute it to roasting his own beans this week of how he's
turned the corner
with his game.
Well, he's back. He is certainly back. And
oh my
just
goodness.
Your memories from his win last year, Nathan Grube. I mean, you know, it really came. Well, it went to a playoff.
It did. I will say that one of the most enjoyable things that I love for our fans is when you get a one-hole playoff. Because what happens is, for those that haven't been to the property, 15, 16, 17, and 18 kind of like go around a lake and kind of culminate in 18. So it's kind of this huge loop that from a viewing experience is a pretty cool experience. So when you get a one-hole playoff, it gives the fans time to fill in that bowl, to fill in 18. And some of the coolest moments we've had, you know, with the tournament have been in like 1 to 2 hole playoffs where the crowds, I mean, just the crowds are, they're unbelievable. And to have them fill in on 18 is just great. And so when Scotty and Tom went to the playoff, like I knew it was going to happen. I mean, it was just going to, I mean, the bowl was going to fill in. You got the number one ranked player in the world, you know, Tom's doing everything he can to chase him down. And it was awesome. And Scotty's just, I mean, Scotty is as good of a guy as he looks on TV. Like, he is such a gentleman. He and his wife are so kind and gracious to the volunteers, to everyone. I mean, there's some guys, you know, that can get in their own head and be really intense and, you know, put on a, you know, a wave to the crowd, you know, and they look really nice. But Scotty is as good in front of the camera as he is behind the camera. And so to have him, you know, win is just awesome. And he just to show that he is the best for a reason. He's, you know, what is he, over 100 weeks, I think, ranked at number one in the world. I mean, like, he is. As, and then you have Rory talking about him. He's like, yeah, I looked at, you know, what did Rory say last year? I think at some point you would know probably better than I would. Rory said, I looked at Scotty's game and what he was doing, and I had to learn from it. You know, I mean, like, you get other top-ranked players in the game saying, I'm looking at that guy's game and trying to see what he's doing. Like, that's just what he's doing right now is pretty special. And we're really proud to have him as our champion and, you know, have him coming back here soon.
Well, he's certainly got it back and after starting the season a little late, you know, with the accident, but with his the stitches in his hand and et cetera, et cetera. But last year he had rounds of 65, 64, 64, 65. His total of 22 under par was one off the tournament scoring record. But I think he's totally found his game by now. And you had mentioned Rory McIlroy, now the Masters champion. A lot has changed since last year. He's a career Grand Slam champion, Nathan. So what are your thoughts about Rory? I remember I saw you guys at the Masters under the big oak tree. And, oh, my goodness, what a Masters. And now Rory is going to be coming to the Travelers, you know, as a career Grand Slam champ. That's how great is that?
It's unbelievable. And again, I kind of mentioned this earlier. Like, I am so excited for our fans and sponsors and volunteers. And I mean, Ann, you've known us long enough to know, like, you remember when we were thrilled to have, you know, one of the top 20, one of the top 30 or whatever. And now, I mean, we're sitting here talking about the fact that, you know, we're going to have, you know, we have Scotty's defending and Rory and Xander and Ludwig. I mean, you know, all through the top 10 and, you know, to have the best players in the world here is awesome. But I mean, Rory, given that, I mean, that scene at Augusta, right, at the Masters when he just collapses on the green, and like, I think everybody was caught up in that moment and, you know, just happy for him. And to have him coming back here kind of in that, you know, in that space of career Grand Slam, I mean, that's very rare air. And so to have him here and to, you know, to know him personally, and, you know, he loves coming here. And so to have him come back, and I know the fans are so excited to see that piece of history that he's carrying with him now, and then to come see him in person is great.
You should have some washing machine chipping contest going on.
Rory,
I mean, he was on Jimmy
Fallon. Was that Fallon?
Yeah. Wasn't that funny? That would be a cool thing to do at the Travelers for all the kids. I mean, you have so many things going on. I want to get to that in a second. But again, we were talking about Scotty being there. Rory's going to come again. Xander, Colin Morikawa, Justin Thomas, Ludwig Åberg. I mean, how great is Ludwig? I mean, I think, you know, he certainly can win on any given day. Your thoughts about this young Åberg coming to the Travelers?
So, I have to say this about Ludwig. He is very similar to Scotty in that as nice of a guy as he looks like on camera, he is off camera even better. We gave him an exemption a few years ago. You know, we always try to, you know, find some young guys to give exemptions to, and he was so appreciative and so gracious. And he actually came to an event a couple years that we hosted, and, you know, he interacting with some press and media and things like that. And then afterwards, he just stayed and talked to you. And it's those simple little things, like he looks you in the eye and asks you questions. He shakes your hand. He doesn't feel rushed off. He doesn't, like, drift. He's engaged. He is he's one of those players that, like, after you spend 30 seconds with him, you're like, I want that guy to win every single week. And just how he approaches the game, and I mean, he's a great young man. So, you know, to have Ludwig, you know, coming back, and again, you know, kind of establishing the relationship we've had with him, and to see him, you know, do so incredibly well, and he's gonna win in buckets. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were like, Ludwig's gonna win your tournament. I'm like, that's totally possible. You know,
yeah.
So he's great young man with an unbelievable amount of talent, and I love how fast he plays. Like, I love how he gets up to the ball and wherever it's going to go, like, he is committed. And I absolutely love that he, just how he plays, he doesn't really, at least it doesn't look like on the outside, you know, second guess himself. He gets up there, he's like, nope, this is what we're doing, and I'm going to trust all the work that I put in, and I'm going to hit it. And it's pretty cool to watch.
No pace of play issues with him, for sure.
No.
I love his whatsoever. Swing. Beautiful form, just no nonsense. I can't rave enough about Oberg. What about Keegan Bradley, Ryder Cup captain, winning in 2023 at the Travelers? Your thoughts on Keegan?
I mean, that was such a fun year for him, walking up 18 and how emotional he got, and the crowd was behind him, and, you know, just that he's, you know, there's very few New England guys, and he was the New England guy, you know, and to have him win was pretty cool. But then, you know, I mean, the mustache that he's grown, we really can't not talk about that, Anne. I mean, that is a very Tom Selleck-esque bold move that,
you know,
captains grow stashes, right? So the fact that he had to, I'm kidding, you know, but it is great. When I first saw him, I was like, oh my goodness, that's a big one. So anyway, with him being, you know, Ryder Cup captain, the pressure that you know, comes with that, especially, you know, at New York. And I mean, there are so many things that that I know he's carrying with him right now. And I know he wants to play his way onto the team and, you know, all that type of stuff. But I mean, Keegan has been an awesome, awesome champ. He's always supported the event. I mean, since, you know, he was obviously first came out here on tour, and, you know, he has hundreds of family members and friends that come out and watch him. And but that was pretty cool to have him win, and then just, you know, keep our relationship going with Keegan and the boys and the whole deal. So he played
so well in 2023. Remember, he was not selected to play in the Ryder Cup team at Marco Simone in Italy. Can you imagine? Yeah. I was so mad he wasn't selected. And, can you ever imagine he would become the 2025 Ryder Cup captain? Boy, how things turn around,
I know.
Around,
you,
right?
The last 2 to 3 years, and what an emotional, you know, I'm sure, roller coaster that's been. Because I think everybody thought he had done enough to be on the team. He thought that, you know, and I think everybody thought it as well. And then to not get the spot, and then, you know, obviously kind of saw it unfold on Netflix, and that, you know, how they documented that, and on Full Swing. And then, you know, and to come back and be the captain, it's pretty cool to see. So, but I know that's awesome, but it's also, there is a weight on that, you know, that he carries, and he wears that flag, you know, and he is so proud to be the captain, and I really, really hope he comes with the win.
So tickets are now on sale. And talk about, you have a new Mohegan Sun Terrace I was reading about?
We do. So here's the good thing and the challenging thing about building a golf tournament every year, right? Like, it's amazing, but it's also terrifying. Like, we don't have a stadium, right? You don't just, you know, roll into a stadium and play your game, you know, like, you literally have to build your stadium every single year with golf tournaments. And it takes about 3 months, and, you know, you're building it. But what's cool about that is if you get fan feedback, like, hey, I'd like this different, or could you tweak this? Or we spend a lot of time asking our fans, like, hey, what do you want to see differently next year that you didn't see this year? And so it's fun because you get to tweak it and you get to change it. And we get to, you know, we're always tweaking things a little bit here and there. And with the Mohegan Sun, it's actually already sold out for Friday and Saturday, but it's a beautiful spot up on 17, where, you know, the golf course, but there's a, so the left of the 17th hole, I mentioned 15 through 18 kind of go around this lake, but up on 17, there's a big hill, and you overlook, and you can see 15, 16, 17, and then the tee shot on 18 from this vantage point. And I remember about 10, 11 years ago, one of the PGA Tour rules officials, who's actually not there anymore, Mark Russell, he took me up there in his cart, and he said, Nathan, he goes, this would be a really cool place for a venue. And I'm sitting up there looking at him like, Mark, it would be. I got to figure out how to build it, how to fund it, you know, the whole deal. And then fast forward, our partners in Mohegan Sun, they saw the vision as well. So the terrace up there is pretty cool. Like I said, it's already sold out for Friday and Saturday. We have Thursday and Sunday available. But, you know, just kind of continually tweaking the event to where we're building a new facility down, actually, to the right of the 15th tee box near the 14th green, kind of in the trees. It's a pretty cool area. So it's fun to build it every year, but it's also like, oh my gosh, we have to build this thing every year. But in the end, the positives far outweigh the negatives of playing in the stadium where you can't pivot and make changes like that.
Well, you guys think of everything. You support healthcare workers, first responders, military, veteran members. I mean, it's such a great event. Nathan, thanks so much. I'm really looking forward to being up there June 18th through the 22nd. Continued success, and truly. It's a great,
so
great PGA Tour event.
Thank you so much for the partnership. Cannot wait to see you soon.
Thank you. Have a great day. My thanks to Nathan Grube, Tournament Director, Travelers Championship, to George Pepper, Lynx Magazine, to Ed Arzuman in the studio. Talking Golf with Ann Liguori is brought to you by Travelers Championship. See the PGA Tour's biggest names June 18th through the 22nd at TPC River Highlands. Visit TravelersChampionship.com for information. Mark Melusis is up next. Have a great week, everybody. Enjoy this first week of May. And I look forward to talking with you next Sunday morning right here on Talking Golf with Ann Liguori.